Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter 40. Exodus, chapter 40. And then turn over to Ephesians, chapter 5. We'll read one verse there to begin with. Exodus, chapter 40. We shall begin to read in verse number 30 for our message tonight. Our message is really going to be a teaching, preaching type message tonight. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 30 of Exodus chapter 40, "And he," that's Moses, "set the laver between the tent of the congregation and the altar. And he put water there to wash withal. And Moses and Aaron and his sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. Then," or "when they went into the tent of the congregation, and when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hangings of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. And the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." Now I want you to go back and look at verse 34, when Moses had finished the work of building the tabernacle and putting the places, the things, the items of the tabernacle in their proper place, and he and Aaron and the sons of Aaron, the priestly tribe, washed and cleansed themselves as the labor to begin to offer the sacrifices, a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I want to use that tonight along with one verse from Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and you're familiar with it, in verse number 18. "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." I want to speak to you on this subject tonight. Has glory filled your house? Has glory filled your house? The tabernacle was the place where God dwelt among his people in their wilderness wandering. He came down. The cloud was the Shekinah glory cloud, representing the presence of God. The Bible says when he offered those sacrifices, as you see in chapter 39 and the earlier verses of 40, chapter 40. The cloud came down and God answered by fire. And the cloud was so thick in that tabernacle, Moses could not go in. The glory of the presence of God filled that house. Now, over in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, turn with me there. 1 Corinthians, first of all, in chapter 3, talking to New Testament Christians. Now, understand, there is no tabernacle or temple today. The temple replaced the tabernacle after they went into the promised land. And the temple was built. But there is no tabernacle or temple today. Where does God dwell today? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul said, "Know ye not," talking to Christians, "ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, but the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And then over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Just as the glory of God came down and filled that temple and filled that tabernacle, when we get saved, every saved person, God indwells. The moment of salvation, it lasts throughout our entire Christian life. God lives in our body. But there's another wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. It's misunderstood many times. Some people, the Bible calls it filling, being filled with the Spirit. Some people call it the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Some people might say it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that's not taken theologically correct from the presentation and usage of that in the Scripture. But it's not more of the Holy Spirit coming into us. All of Him lives in every Christian. But being filled with the Holy Spirit simply means we yield up our control of self and yield to His control and His will. And when we do, the presence and power of God takes over our life. Glory fills our house. There's Christians today, the Holy Spirit of God lives in them in the indwelling fashion from the time they were saved. But you'd never know it, looking at their life. But you know it when a man or woman is filled with the Spirit. The glory cloud is evident. The presence of God the Spirit is evident in their life. God would have every one of us be able to say every day of our Christian life, I'm not only indwelt and sealed with the Spirit, but I am living a Spirit-filled life. I walk in the Spirit. He controls my life. My life is yielded to Him. As I've often said, we get out of the pilot seat and allow Him to sit as the pilot of our life. When you say Jesus is my co-pilot, you're saying I'm in charge, He's second in command. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is giving Him the stick that controls your life, giving Him the pilot seat. He's in charge. And I've got to ask you again and say to you that it's the will of God that the glory of His presence fill your temple, your tabernacle. It's God's will that we live that Spirit-filled life. Father, help me tonight in a very quick and concise lesson. Give these dear folks something on this Wednesday night that will make a difference in their life as they live their Christian life for You. I'm not talking to unsaved people tonight. I'm preaching to Your children. And Lord, to come out on Wednesday night in June in the middle of a thunderstorm, they're saying You're important to them. But You being important in our lives does not mean that we've allowed You to have control of our life. It does not mean necessarily that we're walking in the Spirit, that we're filled and controlled by the Spirit. So many times we make our decisions and our choices without considering You and Your will. We don't ask You, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? We don't seek the principles of the Word of God and consider what would please You. Many times we only think about what pleases us. But would You use the lesson tonight to help us to learn and to grow and become the child of God You want us to become? Thank You for stating plainly in Ephesians chapter 5 that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's no excuse. There's no misunderstanding if we know anything about the Bible. There's only submission or rebellion. Help us, Lord, to be that submissive child, to yield our life to your will, to go where you want us to go and do what you want us to do. Help us to fill our place in our church, serving you in a spirit-filled life. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture I've read to you tonight from Exodus 40 tells us how Moses finished the work of setting up the tabernacle. In chapter 39, the construction of the tabernacle was completed in complete accordance to God's specific instructions, every detail. And it was necessary that be so because that tabernacle represented Jesus Christ and the work of redemption he would do for us. So there's no place to skimp and cheat on instructions. By the way, we are Christians. We are Christ-like. We're to be Christ-like. We're his ambassadors. People are to see us and recognize the presence of the living Christ in our lives. And we don't have the right to skimp and cheat on the rules when it comes to living our Christian life. Now in chapter 40, the Lord instructs Moses to set up the tabernacle and to offer burnt offerings on the brass altar, and then to offer sweet incense inside of the holy place on the golden offering. Everything was to be in its place and in accord to God's instruction. Moses obeyed God precisely. And when Moses had obeyed God, that cloud, the Shekinah glory of God, came down to cover the tent. And the glory of the Lord filled that tabernacle, according to verse 34. Now in the New Testament Christian life, this is a picture of the Christian being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. God no longer dwells in tabernacles made with hands. According to 1 Corinthians 3, our body is the temple where God lives in the person of the Holy Spirit if we are Christians. The Holy Spirit indwells us at the moment of our salvation and lives in us as our guarantee, our assurance that we're saved and heaven's our home, and he will be in us until the rapture takes place and we're called out to meet the Lord in the air. Again, in 1 Corinthians 6, as we read, we're reminded that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price, and our life is to be lived to bring glory and honor to God and to the Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. We were all indwelled by the Holy Spirit when we were saved. We didn't make a choice to be indwelled. That came with our salvation. That is part of the assurance of our salvation. If the Holy Spirit does not live in you, you're not one of God's children, the Bible reminds us. He is the witness within us. And if you don't have that witness within you that you're a child of God, you better be concerned about what you're calling salvation. Because the Bible says that if we're saved, he lives in us, and he is that still small voice. He is the one who is always guiding us and speaking us, our comforter, our paraclete, the one who comes alongside and lives in us to guide us and help us through our daily life. There is no such thing as a Christian that is not indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, we're nowhere commanded to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That is a part of our salvation. That takes place when we're born again. Every Christian is automatically indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God when we're saved. However, we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can be, I wish I could tell you that every day of our Christian life, we're going to be filled with the Spirit. But that's not true. Sometimes we can get to the place in our Christian life where we're not walking in the Spirit. We're not filled with His Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, they were filled. Acts chapter 4, the same group. Filled again, the Bible says, with the Holy Spirit of God. So the filling of the Holy Spirit has to do with God empowering us for service and living for Him, the Christian life, in a wicked world. You know, the Bible tells us we're sheep living in wolf country. And we need more than our physical ability to be able to not only live and make it, but be successful as a Christian living for the Lord Jesus Christ here in this old wicked world. Now, the question I want you to consider tonight is this. Are you living a Spirit-filled life? Has the glory of His presence filled your house, your tabernacle? I want to point out three reasons tonight why every Christian should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, every one of us should seek daily to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, because of our obedience to God. We are commanded. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. God expects us. Some facts about the sentence structure and the choice of words in this verse we've just read. First of all, the command is plural, indicating that the command is not only for a select few, but for every Christian. Every one of us is commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Also, the command is in the present tense, which means to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Not to choose to walk in the Spirit today and the flesh next week, but to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. To be being filled day in, day out. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's God's will that we obey Him and be filled and continue to be filled. The third thing I see about this verse, the verb is passive, which means we cannot fill ourselves. Therefore, we must yield to God and allow Him to do the work of filling us with His Spirit. Why, Jesus said if we'll ask Him, He'll fill us. He'll give us the Holy Spirit of God. Do you ever ask Him? To be filled does not mean to get a greater quantity of the Holy Spirit, not more of Him. We have all of the person living, but the question is, does He have all of you? Do you allow Him to have control of your life? Or have you got parts of your life locked off from God and the Holy Spirit? Lord, you can have this and you can have that, but there are parts of my life you're not welcome in. Well, you're not living a Spirit-filled life. You can't hold back part of your life and live that Spirit-filled life. Yes, He'll indwell you if you're saved. And He'll be a witness within you. That's the reason He's always talking to you about that area of your life you haven't yielded to Him. That's the reason you're under conviction about it. But to be filled means that we yield control of our life to Him. And I've got to ask you right here in this first point, does He have control of your life? Or are you saying, it's my life. I'm going to do what I want to. I've heard young people tell their parents, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what I want to. And I know some young people that get away from the parents and they do what they want to anyway. You say, that's terrible. It's no different than me and you saying to God, no, I'm going to do what I want to. Or I'm going to live like I want to. When we belong to Him, we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. That's what He said. Secondly, another reason we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit is because of our obligations. Not only obedience, but obligations. See, God, the Holy Spirit is God in the Spirit. He's the Comforter, the Paraclete. He is the one to aid us and to empower us for God, to make us usable in the cause of Christ. Surprise, surprise, surprise. You're not usable in the greatest way for God just because you're talented or cute or cool or because you got a fat wallet. We're usable by God and for God when He is in control of our life and the Holy Spirit fills us and empowers us. Now, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit because of our obligations. You see, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit because of our obligation to our worship life. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Turn there. Look at verse 19. Right after verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You say, what is that? That's worship. And if we're going to worship God, we're going to have to worship Him in spirit. Remember Jesus said to the Samaritans, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the reason some of you come to church and you don't sing. You talk during the song service and even talk during the preaching service. Some of you sneak out your phone and text your friends. That's not a spirit-filled life. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit for our worship life. We come to church to worship Him, to adore Him, to magnify Him, to praise Him, to sing to His glory and His honor of His grace and His mercy and goodness to us. To do that as God intended, it's got to be done by Spirit-filled Christians. Oh, you may come and fill a pew, but there's something lacking in your worship. Some of you come to church and the only thing you want out of church is to get out of church. That happens when the Holy Spirit's not in control of our life. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit because of our worship life. Secondly, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit because of our obligations in our wedded life. Your marriage. Say, it's just not working. Well, God designed it. And if He's not in charge of your life, how's it going to work like God wants it to work? You'll be like the Gores after 40 years of marriage. They separated. And here, a few years ago, this kissing at the convention and telling people they were Christians and so forth. If our marriage is going to be what it ought to be, we've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit because He is the one that makes it possible for that wife to get along with your orneriness or you to get along with her stubbornness. And let me tell you, every one of us got it. Ladies, you're not stubborn. You bunch of cowards. You men, you're not doing anything. And hey, men, aren't you ornery? Huh? Yeah. Now, how are we going to get along in marriage? I got news for you. You may get married and say I do, and you got that burning love for one another like nobody's business, but that's not going to be enough to make it 40 and 50 and 60 years. The Holy Spirit is what puts meaning and purpose in our marriage. The Holy Spirit of God. Listen to what the Bible says. Now keep in mind the context. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Then just a few verses later in verse 22, he says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands in the Lord, unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, ladies, I'll admit to you, that's tough. And you're not going to be able to do it if you're living in the flesh, if you're not filled with the Spirit. And then husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know what Jesus is saying here? Hey, men, if need be, you ought to be willing to die for your wife. And you ought to live for her. And most of you are already planning how you're going to live for yourself. You can't do what you ought to do as a husband in regards to your wife if the Holy Spirit of God's not in control. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God because of our wedded life. And verse 22 all the way through verse 33 deals with that and tells us how Christians, husbands and wives, are to treat one another. And you can't do this in the energy of the flesh without the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit makes it possible. And the Holy Spirit is what puts the love and the smile and the fulfillment and the longevity in our marriages. I was watching TV the other night and they came out with this new mouthwash. That 12-hour mouthwash, they said, take it. You know, use it before you go to bed, and your breath is fresh in the morning. Showed this young couple, man, just waking up with sleepy in their eyes, running and kissing. And I looked at my wife, and she looked at me. It doesn't make any difference now. But, you bunch of dirty-minded people, ornery, cantankerous. You need to be filled with the Spirit. But, folks, how are we going to make it as we ought to in our marriage? The Holy Spirit of God is the ingredient God gives to us, not only that we might effectively worship Him, but that we might build a marriage that is fulfilling, God-honoring, the kind of home to raise good children in, the kind of marriage that honors Him. Filled with the Spirit because of our wedded life. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit because of our obligation to our family life. Not only are we not going to raise children or build a marriage like we ought to, we're not going to raise children as we ought to without the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now keep in mind, in the context of all of this, being filled with the Spirit, he talks about worship, he talks about marriage, and now then in chapter number 6, he talks about children and parents raising their children, fathers and mothers and their relationship to their children, children's relationship to their parents. Hey, by the way, teenager, let me give you something that's novel. This is a novelty in the Christian life. God expects saved teenagers to be filled with the Holy Spirit too. Not just old preachers and old grandmas. God expects teenagers and young couples getting married, raising families, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We're commanded to do it. And then not only that, still in that line of thought, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit because of our obligations to our worship life, our wedded life, our family life, and beginning in verse number 5 through verse 9, because of our work life. Most of you don't have the opportunity that I have to work on a church staff where most of the staff are somewhat Christian. It is a blessing to be able to come to work without hearing vulgarities and filth and dirt and rot. It's wonderful to be able to come to work where people's not ashamed to praise God and rejoice with the Lord and sing a hymn or whistle a hymn. And I realize most of you don't have that privilege. Most of you go to work in a secular job. And God intended for you to be out there in that secular job. But the only way you're going to make it and have influence over them instead of them having influence over you is to be filled with the Spirit. And he talks here, beginning in verse number 5 through verse number 9, he talks about servants and masters. He talks about the employer and the employee. And God expects both of us to be filled with the Spirit if we claim to be Christians. One more reason we ought to be filled, obligation. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit because of our obligation to our war life. Whether you know it or not, we're in war zone. We're living in a war time. We're at war with the devil and the world. And that's the reason God says, beginning in verse number 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Talks about taking on the whole armor of God, and then he talks about standing and every part of that armor. Because we're in a war. We're to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We can't be faithful against Satan's attack and against sin's temptation without being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Quickly, let me finish. The third reason we're to be filled with the Spirit is because of our opportunities in our Christian life. In Ephesians 6, 19 and 20, we're told by Paul, "For we're ambassadors," that he was an ambassador in bonds. Paul said to the Corinthians that we are ambassadors for Christ. We're to represent Him. He said, I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And we can't speak as we ought to speak for Christ without the filling of the Holy Spirit. We never know where or when God will give us an opportunity to be His witness. We never know. I was preaching in Oklahoma City, and Dr. Vineyard bought me a suit, and he didn't buy me a tie, and I wanted to wear it, so I went to a store to get me a tie. And while I was looking there for the tie, a man from India said, "You're a man of God, aren't you?" Why? Sometimes God just puts you in a corner and you've got to stand up and witness for Him. But really, that's just an opportunity. And oh, how we need His Spirit when that opportunity comes. When that God brings us into contact with someone. It may be at work or the hospital or the service station. I was coming to school one morning. And it was about 6 o'clock in the morning. I had to do some work to get ready for class. And I stopped at 7-Eleven. My wife had not gotten up to cook breakfast at that time. So I said, "I'll just stop at the 7-Eleven store and I'll get me a biscuit and sausage and a cup of coffee." And I went in, my suit and tie, and I said, "You sure look nice early in the morning. What do you do?" I had to tell him I was a preacher. God just put you on the spot and asked you that question. You got to tell Him, and that's just an opportunity. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit to take advantage of those opportunities. Over and over again, I was in a restaurant. Bobby Buchanan from Baton Rouge, myself, was in a restaurant. And a waitress said, "Are y'all Christians?" She asked us. So you think we're not going to witness? When God gives you the opportunity, don't we need His power to do so? I was in Houston talking at a restaurant with Brother John Duckett. He's with the Lord now. And a waitress came over and said, "I'm hearing you talk about getting saved. Could you tell me what getting saved means?" And I said, "Yes. Do you have some time? She said, I've got a break. And she came over and sat down at the table, and we told her about getting saved and what it meant. She bowed her head. Hey, we need the filling of the Holy Spirit because we don't know when God's going to bring. Guess what? God doesn't work just according to our schedule. He doesn't work just on Thursday night at 7 o'clock or Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. He's busy all the day long giving us opportunities on our job and on in the grocery store and at the gas station and wherever we are. And when that opportunity comes, I don't want to be backslidden. And I don't want to be in the flesh. I want to be able to take advantage of that opportunity. And we can't do that without living a Spirit-filled life. So it is with every Christian life here. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit because of obedience to God, because of our obligations, and because of our opportunities. And I ask you tonight, are you filled with the Spirit? Now let me tell you what I sense. I've been here in this church long enough that I know what it's like when the Spirit of God is at work. And the Spirit of God is at work when He's at work in me and in you. And I know what it is when you can preach your heart out on a Sunday morning and not get an amen like last Sunday morning. What's the difference? Whether or not He's in control. Because an amen simply means, that's right, preacher. That's Bible. We agree. We're with you. And I'm here to tell you, just because I'm in the process of stepping aside from the pastorate, and Brother Todd is in the process of being installed as the pastor, does not mean that gives me or you a pass when it comes to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I ask you tonight, are we individually living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled life? Father, that's our message. Would you speak to our hearts? Oh, how we need you. How we need your presence, your power. Just because you were in control of our life last month does not mean that you're still sitting in the driver's seat. Man, just one day, one cantankerous moment, backsliding, get in the flesh, get angry in the flesh, and say things. Lord, we can get out of step and out of harmony with you. And it ought to grieve us. It ought to break our heart and burden our soul. Oh, may we live that life in such a way that your Spirit is in charge. He's evident. He's dominant. And let us ask the question again tonight. Has glory filled our house? Speak to us in this invitation, we ask it. Heads are bowed, eyes.